Graham Redfern, welcome back to Full Story.
Thanks, Noah.
Gari is a UNESCO World Heritage listed site. It's the largest sand island in the world. And because of that, it is home to some unique and rare species of plants and animals. You've been there a couple of times. Can you tell us a bit more about the island?
Yeah, I have. I've been there probably five or six times, actually. It is an absolutely incredible place. There is nowhere else like it in the world. It is, the world's biggest sand island. It's got about 250 kilometres of beaches. That's 150-odd miles of beaches. It was listed as a World Heritage Site in 1992. It's got half of the world's perched freshwater dune lakes. Half of the world's freshwater dune lakes are in this place. It's got rainforests. It's got incredible beaches. It's got endless sand dunes that go on for kilometres. And yet it has this unique mix and a unique ecology. And an important part of that ecology, of course, are the dingoes.
And for all those reasons, it is a popular tourist destination.
Oh, incredibly popular. People come from around the world. We've had the royal family has visited Gari. It has somewhere in the order of sort of 800,000 to a million visitors a year, although they're not carefully counted. And anybody that comes to Queensland as a tourist or even people that live here, it's a bucket list place.
So you mentioned the dingoes on the island. It is home to a small population. Can you talk to me about how the dingoes on Gari are different from the dingoes elsewhere on the Australian mainland?
Yeah, I mean, firstly, they look different. They've got this amazing sort of double colour, like a cream and golden colour. They've been essentially isolated on Gari for thousands of years. There have been some studies that suggest that they are very close to kind of what you might consider like a genetically pure dingo. They are genetically distinct from dingoes in other parts of Australia, but there's a chance that maybe that is just because they've been isolated for such a long time and there's not a lot of them.
Mm.
So they've become a victim of this sort of lack of genetic diversity. In other words, there's a lot of inbreeding of these dingoes. So far, they seem to be coping with that kind of isolation, but for how much longer, that's kind of an open question.
Mm. And they are considered a protected species. I believe I read that experts think there are about 70 to maybe 200 of these dingoes living on that island. That's more than the human population on Gari. But as of recording, Graham, the Queensland Department of Environment and Tourism has euthanised some of the dingoes believed to have been involved in the death of 19-year-old Piper James earlier this month. What explanation has the state government given for that decision?
Yeah, their justification is that they've said that rangers were closely observing this pack after the death of Piper James and saw some aggressive behaviour. And as a result of that, they've made the decision that they should kill this pack.
Mm.
The justification from the state's environment minister, Andrew Powell, is one of public safety.
But there are some people who've questioned whether or not this will actually improve public safety.
Yeah.
What have experts told you?
Yeah, I spoke to a few experts. So we have to think about firstly, the time of year that this attack happened. This is the time of year when the dingoes are, they're actually a little bit more active than normal. The males are moving around, they're dispersing, they're looking for mates. It's just before sort of the breeding season. So if you were to go to Gari at this time of year in any year, there would be a bit more dingo activity than you might see at the other times of the year. This can also mean sort of more interactions with humans. It can mean maybe a bit more aggressive behaviour. So one expert that I spoke to is Dr. Bradley Smith at Central Queensland University. He's an expert on human and dingo conflict and interaction. And he said, well, if you'd left that pack alone, they wouldn't be exhibiting this aggressive behaviour probably in another few months' time. The other issue of removing that pack is, of course, wild animals will do what they do, and you'll probably see another group that will come in to try and claim that space on the island, which this pack is known to sort of have had a home around this Maheno shipwreck, this steam liner that ran aground in 1935, and it's actually a really popular spot along this incredibly long and seemingly endless beach on the Gari coastline.
Before we talk about some of the reaction from environmental experts as well as the traditional owners, we have heard from Piper James's family. What is their view?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they've It's a tragedy for them, and it's a tragedy for the whole island too, and anyone that's been involved with this. They've said that Piper was sort of a very adventurous person. They've said that in their view, that they thought that she wouldn't have wanted the dingoes to be killed as a result of what she did. And Todd and Angela, her parents, have said that she probably would have recognised that she maybe put herself in a vulnerable position, but she wouldn't have wanted the dingoes to have been killed. The dad, Todd, he's also said that, you know, maybe if this pack of dingoes were seen to be being aggressive, then maybe for the safety of others, it was a justified position. But alongside the whether this will make people safer in the future, there's the really important part of this story as well, which is we've already talked a little bit about how there's not many dingoes on Gari to begin with. The estimates are between 70 to 200. So removing 10, which is what the government plans to do, that's a significant proportion. And it's in a population that's already sort of struggling with genetic diversity and a lot of interbreeding. One expert that I spoke to, Dr. Kylie Cairns at the University of New South Wales, she's done genetic studies on dingoes, and one study she was involved with on the Gari dingoes. She's worried that by removing 10 more dingoes from the island, that there's a potential there that it could push the population into what she described as an extinction vortex.
What is that?
Well, that's what happens when you have a small, isolated population of a species. They interbreed. That makes them more susceptible to disease. It also makes them susceptible to birth defects and problems with reproduction. That then sort of kicks off a feedback mechanism where they struggle to reproduce. They can't get genetic diversity from outside because they're already isolated, and they're in this spiral where there's not enough of them to make a viable population, and just slowly they disappear. There are other experts that think that maybe they will be okay, but certainly 10 out of a population of maybe 200 or maybe as small as 70 is not an insignificant number and could have an impact on these animals. Now, the last time we actually have seen a death from dingoes on Gari was a 9-year-old boy called Clinton Gage, who was killed by two dingoes in 2001. Now, that resulted in a cull of 32 dingoes on the island in the days after he died. And in the genetic studies, the scientists are actually able to see the impact of that cull in the genetic diversity of the animals. So you would expect that maybe if another study was done in the years ahead, maybe we again might see the impact on the genetics of this population from this cull of 10 dingoes.
So not only have, as some experts describe this as a knee-jerk reaction, others worry about this extinction vortex that it might create. We've also heard from the traditional owners on Gari. They've been angered and saddened by this decision to kill the dingoes, which have cultural significance.
They do.
Could you explain what they've said and why they're angry?
Yeah, so the Butchala people, who are the traditional owners of Gari, they've called this a disgrace. They have said that they were not consulted and actually only found out after the first six dingoes had been killed that, that this had even happened. Now, Garee Island does have some butchler rangers on it. And by the way, they call wild dingoes Wangari. And in the past, when a Wangari died as a result of sort of a human interaction, maybe it's been hit by a vehicle, they will perform a smoking ceremony in honor of that animal. They're really important to the Butchala people. And they've said that they are really hurting as a result of these decisions. And they're also considering whether they could take any legal action against the state government for doing this.
They've also suggested that the solution is better management, particularly fewer visitors. Is that something that is being considered by the state government?
Well, so far, the state government have said that they're standing by what they say is the advice of their state government park rangers to carry out this kill of this pack. The Environment Minister, Andrew Powell, has sort of reiterated the advice that all visitors to Garee get when they go on there, not to be on your own, not to run, to carry a stick, to keep kids at arm's length, not to leave food out, to only camp in designated areas that are fenced. But as far as taking any sort of further actions, we don't know yet. I mean, there have been, since the nine-year-old was killed in 2001, you know, there's been fairly regular interactions between humans and the dingoes. People have been bitten, have been chased or intimidated by groups of dingoes. And some of the experts have said, actually, that this issue is it's a human problem, not a dingo problem. The dingoes are sort of behaving how they always have behaved. And really, part of the response needs to be a much improved public education to make sure that everybody is not only hearing those messages, but is sort of sticking to them. I mean, there's been instances where people have sort of tried to feed a dingo in order to get a selfie with them. You know, these are wild animals. These are not pet dogs that you have at home. They will attack if they're put in the wrong positions. That is all really unfortunate. But, you know, we get, as I've said, about 800,000 to a million visitors a year. The number of sort of negative interactions with dingoes that people have are actually really tiny, but they do happen. And the Butchala people, for example, have suggested that visitor numbers should be drastically reduced, particularly around busy times of the year, to reduce the risk. Of course, the more visitors to the island, the more chance you have of people interacting with dingoes in a way that nobody really wants.
We'll be right back.